My fault. Acts chapter 17. We're kind of starting a new year and giving us a theme to kind of look throughout this year with. And so it's Acts chapter 17 where we're going to start. Let's look at verse 6 together. It says, "And when they found them not..." Now we're coming into the middle of the story, and they're looking, of course, for the apostles. "When they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, 'These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also.'" Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would help us as we look at your word this morning, that we would grow through it, be challenged by it, that, God, we would desire to be used of you in a greater way, that we would surrender our lives to you in a newfound way so that we might change the very course of our world around us. And Father, we'll thank and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to get your attention. That's all. I don't slap things very much. Now that is it. Really, now listen, this is an important message because this is going to set a foundation for the rest of our year. We've kind of come together and picked a theme for the year. You don't have to like it. I hope you do. But I want you to embrace it, all right? Whether you think it's catchy or not, I don't really care, but I want you to embrace it. Imagine the gigantic word impact, because impact is going to be the word that would remind you of everything we're going to talk about for the next 5 weeks, next 6 weeks, as we put it all together. We're going to challenge you and I, challenge our church, to make a difference in the world that God has placed us in. In fact, that's the kind of catchphrase for the impact challenge that we have is this: changed by God to change our world. Now, I wish I'd come up with that by myself. I didn't. You know, it's something that I heard somebody else say, and just I liked it. So, you know, you catch on to it. Changed, but honestly, here is a truth. God put us here for a reason. And that reason is more than just to make money. It's more than just to eat and party. It is more than just to buy and accumulate stuff. God has left us here for a reason. Beyond that, God has brought you here for a reason. Here, to this place, to this spot for a reason. And God has planted Southeast Baptist Tabernacle here for a reason. And that reason is so that we might be used by God to make a difference in the world around us. Here's the question. If Southeast Baptist blows up this week and is gone, does Franklin Township even notice? The question is, if you die this week, does your family, do your coworkers, do your friends at school, do they even notice? Are we doing anything that is meaningful? I heard a story this week at the wedding that is just phenomenal. A man named Francis Asbury, who you might have heard of. How many of you know who Francis Asbury is? All five of us. He's Methodist, so I'll grant you that you might not know that quite as well. But you've probably heard of Asbury College, probably, and things like that. Okay, this is the Francis Asbury we're talking about. Francis Asbury was a great preacher of the Second Great Awakening here in the United States of America. He would walk in during that time. I mean, preachers would preach, and whole towns would fall on their knees, and God would move in incredible ways. So this week, we visited a town that once was called Duck Pond Crossroads. That was the name of the town, Duck Pond Crossroads. In fact, that is where Jenny's dad is the pastor. But it's not been called that for over 200 years, or about 200 years. Because during the Second Great Awakening, Francis Asbury came into this city, Duck Pound Crossroads, and preached from the book of Revelation on the church of Smyrna. And the town fell on its knees. And God moved in great ways. And the town got together, petitioned the governor of Delaware to change the name of the city from Duck Pond Crossroads to Smyrna, Delaware. Wow. That is making a difference in somebody. Somebody has touched the life of almost everyone here, but you may not recognize his name, but the person is not the important part of this equation. You understand? It is the Savior that we serve that is the important part of this equation. But yesterday, Art Rohrheim died. How many of you know who Art Rohrheim is? About the same number. This delegation over here, of course, would know, because Art Rohrheim started Awana Clubs. He died at 99 years of age yesterday. Wow. To have an impact that goes around the world, wouldn't that be incredible? I mean, to be used by God to accomplish something that is... So the question is, and I want you to help me here. I like some conversation. I want to wake you up. All right? So if we say we want to have an impact, what do we mean? What makes something an impact spiritually for the cause of Christ? Okay, one of the most important things would be that it lasts, right? There would be something that would actually live longer than us. You know, the idea is, and this is nothing new, you've heard this gazillions of times, but you know, all of us need to find something in life that's worth doing that is greater than we are. If all we ever do is accomplish what we can accomplish, then the moment we're gone, it's done. We're kind of finished. We need to have something that is greater than we are, that we're pouring ourselves into. Something's going to outlast us. And so, you know, I'm challenging all of us this year to look for something that you could put your life into that will go beyond you, that will go beyond your time on this earth, that will go beyond your moment of ministry in this place. We want to find something that outlasts us. What else would make something impactful? Okay, it creates a change, something that causes a change of direction or a change of attitude or, you know, a change in behavior. We would want to involve ourselves in something that changes us, right? You know what the glorious thing of the gospel is, that when the gospel comes into somebody's life, they're changed. They're new. I am a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If we were the same after Christ as we were before Christ, there'd be no reason to have Christ. Do you understand? If Christ has so little impact that there's no change brought, then what's the point? And so you and I ought to be involving ourselves in something that's going to bring about a change. A change that is lasting and meaningful, a change of all of these things. What else makes something...
The movement is in the direction of what God
intended. Oh, and then ultimately putting the Lord into all of this so that the movement, whatever change of direction we have, by the way, there's change happening around us all of the time, right? Most of us see the change going this way and spiraling downward, right? We are kind of flushing our society down the proverbial toilet. That's change, but it's not the kind of change you want to have. It's not the kind of change that God intends. Would you agree with me that God did not plant Southeast Baptist Tabernacle here so that Franklin Township is the same 20 years from now as it is today because of our presence? Would you agree with me that God did not give you your children so that the next generation of fill in your last name would be the same as the previous generation of fill in your last name? Would you agree with me that we're here for greater purposes than that, and our goal would be to make an impact with our lives and our ministry so that while we're here, we actually make a difference? You know, we could talk about preachers forever. How many of you ever heard of Billy Sunday? You know why you've heard of Billy Sunday? Because when Billy Sunday walked into a town, things happened. You know, there's a song that Frank Sinatra made very popular about Billy Sunday that was actually not a good thing to be said about the city of Chicago. Chicago, that toddling town, the town that Billy Sunday, what? Couldn't shut down. Because Billy Sunday would walk into a town and he'd start preaching and bars would close because there was no business. They couldn't make any money. Bars would close because the owner of the bar got saved and his life changed. That's an amazing thing that God could take one person and turn a town upside down, and yet God took 12 and turned the world upside down. Why can't God take 250 people and turn Franklin Township upside down? I'm not asking it rhetorically. Why can't God take 250 people and turn Franklin Township upside down? There you go. It's not a matter of whether God can or not. It's the point is, we have to find the willing people. That's really what this is about. I don't know about you, but as I'm getting older, I'm recognizing my opportunity to make an impact is slipping away. It is. I'm not doom and gloom here. I still consider myself fairly young, and I can still do a cartwheel if I absolutely have to. It's not like I can, but my opportunity to make a difference is slipping away. I am not content to coming to the end of my life and breathing my last breath and knowing that something could have been done, should have been done, but I failed to do it. I want God to use my life to make an impact. And so we're going to study this word impact, I-M-P-A-C-T, one little phrase at a time. And so for the next few weeks, and I'm asking you to begin to pray. You may not have come ready for this. I'm not asking all of this to happen right now, but I'm asking at the end of 6 weeks, I'm asking Southeast Baptist Tabernacle to jump on board with your pastor, and let's not let another opportunity slip between our fingers when God might have used us to turn the world upside down, to change our world. Let's focus on our world. I'm not talking about the global economy here, but if we were just to draw a circle around the impact that this congregation could have, it would be a pretty wide circle. And if God would change us so that we might change our world, that would be incredible. So let's kind of walk through it together. Here we go. You ready? Write these down. We'll hand them to you about 1,000 times over before this study is up. All right? We're going to use the word invest. And I want you to think of four things to invest. The first three are the obvious ones: time, talent, and treasure. All right? Time, talent, and treasure. Those are the obvious ones. We're going to look at those in just a moment. All right? Time, talent, and treasure. I'm going to add a fourth one to that, and we'll get to it in just a moment. So to invest our time. If you and I think that we're going to say, oh, wow, this is fun. This is exciting, Pastor. I really am excited about this. If you think that this is a Sunday morning moment and that this is when it happens, you're misunderstanding all of this. If you are not ready to invest some time into the world that God has given you, then your impact is going to be very minimal. It takes an investment, and that investment is one of time. There's no way that you and I can better impact our children than to spend time with them, to impact our grandchildren than to spend time with them, to impact the kids in our church than to spend time with them, to impact one another in this church. Iron sharpens iron, to spend time in contact one with another. I'm not trying to sugarcoat this at all. There's an investment that has to be made if we're going to be people that make a difference. If God's going to use us to make a difference, it is going to be because we are willing, as Miss Debbie was pointing out a second ago, we're willing to be one of those people. And one of those things you're going to have to invest is some time. There's no way around it. Here's what the Bible says: redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. You and I are called upon by God to redeem the time. You see, everybody has the exact same amount of time. There's 24 hours in everybody's day. Now, some people may have 99 years, like Art Rohrheim, 114 years, like my great-great-great-grandmother, or 72 years, like my mother. I'm aware that, from that aspect, things change. But there's 24 hours in everybody's day. There's 7 days in everybody's week. There's 365 days in everybody's year. We're all dealing with, it's all equal. We all have the same amount of time before us to begin to invest. And it's going to require an investment of time to make a difference. It's time for some of you to quit being pew sitters and jump into some ministry, right? So I can't do much. Well, when you're sitting there rocking a baby in the rocking chair in the nursery so that mom can go be refreshed in the things of the Lord, so that you can hold that little one and show them the love of Christ, you're investing. But it doesn't happen. None of this is cheap. None of it's free. It all requires an investment. And one of those investments is time. We need to be willing to be used by God. Here's what the Bible says in Colossians 4. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, toward those who are without Jesus Christ, redeeming the time. Because the days are evil, it says in Ephesians, but in Colossians it says that we need to do this for the sake of other people who are without. So taking time to develop some relationships, taking time to develop some boldness in our own character, taking time to make some sacrifices. Our talent, I've got to hurry, I'm going to run out of time, so speaking of time. Our talent, all right? Would you agree that if God put us here to make an impact, would you agree that God has also then provided things for us so that we can use to be impactful? In other words, if you can sing, then you ought to be singing when it makes a difference. You ought to take that talent and put it to work for the Lord. Investing. You say, that's just not my personality. Hello! God gave you your talent, so your personality, you tell God, not me, I didn't give you your talent. You know, if you have a talent and an ability and you're not using it, you've got to quit blaming it on your personality. Here's the part of your personality you blame it on. I'm stubborn and willful and I don't want to. Okay, I can buy that one. All right? But the God who knew you gave you a talent. So he's also giving you the ability to use that talent. And God wants us to take that talent, the abilities that he's given to us. You know, some of you have the gift of gab. And while that can annoy a lot of people, I know because I'm the gift of gab guy who annoys a lot of people. I'm aware that the truth is there's a great opportunity for those of you who have the gift of gab. Just stand at the door and greet people. That's all you can do. But, you know, wow, start a conversation with somebody who hasn't yet been spoken to. You know, that's an incredible thing. I know there's a guy that comes to mind. I'm not going to say their name. You would know them. They're not here this morning, but I'm not going to say their name. But they can make friends with a lamppost. I'm not kidding you. If you ever go to the store with this person, every other person, you'd think that we live in like a town of 250 people because they know everybody. They know everybody. I mean everybody. The problem is this. They're not here this morning. I'm telling you, they have an incredible talent, and it's going to waste because they're not living for the Lord. This person is not living for the Lord. And God has gifted this person and could be used to bring many people because he has the ability to make people feel comfortable wherever they are. That's a talent. And God's given it. Use what God has given you for the glory of God. God wants you and I to make an impact, to take the gifts that he's given us, and as he's changing us, to change our world. So invest your talent. Whether it's music, invest your talent. Whether it's brains. You know, some of you have brains that can think through and ration things out faster than other people. Put it to work. You know, people with brains probably ought to be teaching something. Boy, I could really make a statement there since, you know, there's about 10 of us who are teaching something. So what's that say about the rest? No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. The real truth is God has given brains the ability to think and reason and rationale, and we ought to be putting it to work, whether it's teaching, whether it's training, or whether it's actually running something. You know, those of you who can, we're going to go through those gifts as we come to the end, so I'm trying to avoid some of that, but just to prepare yourself that this is an investment that we have to make. Are we going to make a difference in our world? When we die, and all of us are going to die, it's important that a man wants to die. How long will it be? How many generations will disappear before your name is gone from the list? My great-great-great-grandfather, Jim Ray, was a man that... He just made a great impact on his family. How do I know? Well, because to this day, 140 years after his death, there's a Jim Ray reunion that takes place in Worthington, Indiana every year. And hundreds of people gather to remember Jim Ray. None of us have met him. I know no one who ever met Jim. I've never met someone who met Jim Ray. He's been dead too many generations. You understand? It's amazing. How many generations will it take before people say, oh, now, you know, what was What was it Grandpa used to always say? What's it going to be? How are we going to have an impact without investment? It's not going to happen. Investment of time, an investment of talent, an investment of treasure. Yes, I knew that preacher was going to get around to treasure in just a little bit. Well, if you know me very much, you know I don't ever preach on money just as a general statement. I mean, like, to have a message about money, I don't think I've ever done it. Ever. Ever. Because I say things like this. If you don't want to give your money, keep it. God doesn't need it. God is not broke. God's not a beggar. But I would say the same thing about your talent and about your time. God's not broke. God does not need us. You understand that? We need him. We need him. It's not because I have to. It's an honor to serve the God who gave me eternal life. It's an honor to give him my talent, and it is an honor to give him my treasure. But here's what I know. God is not asking you to place your faith in your IRA. Do you understand that? I'm not saying that you should be frivolous, but God is not asking you to trust your banker. He's asking you to trust him. And it's time for some of you to let go a little bit. You know, now, our church has money. You guys are good about giving money, and Pastor Brother Todd always cringes when I say that. Pastor, we got to pay off this building. I know we do. And I'm well aware, I know this for a fact, that if you all decided we wanted to, we could pay off the building today. We could. We owe $500,000 on it. And I know that you guys could come up with that if you just really wanted to. I don't really care. I mean, I do care. I want it to be paid off. But that's we have more to do than to worry about that. Do you understand? What God wants us to do is to learn to invest. He has gifted us with time and gifted us with talent and gifted us with treasure so that we can leave a lasting imprint on the world that he has placed us into. And that world is Franklin Township. That world is the south side of Indianapolis. That world is your family, your friends, your coworkers, your schoolmates. That's the world that we're to have an impact on. And it will not happen without some investment. And the last investment that God calls upon us is found in Jude. By the way, let me give you the treasure investment thing. I forgot to read this verse to you. It's a good one. Give, and it shall be given unto you. By the way, God said it, not me, right? This is not a promise from your pastor. I have nothing to promise. But this is a promise from God. Give, and it shall be given unto you. But not just given, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The idea is brown sugar, right? Brown sugar. You know how brown sugar works? So if you have a cup of brown sugar, everybody who bakes knows that there's one more part of that instruction that's missing. If the recipe calls for a cup of brown sugar, what's missing? Is it packed or is it not packed? A cup of brown sugar, and then you take and you pack that, and all of a sudden that cup of brown sugar becomes about a half a cup of brown sugar. I'm not making it up. Go home and try it. And so if the recipe calls for a packed cup of brown sugar, that's a big difference between that and a cup of brown sugar. You have to know the difference. You want to find some interesting things? You know, I'm going to try to remember to do this, this illustration, so I'll save it. You remember that. You've heard me tell about it, but every time I tell about it, everybody looks at me like, what are you talking about? So I'll just try to remember to do it for you. It's just a demonstration. This is what God wants us to do, to give. And then God takes what we've given, and he makes it as if it's twice the amount. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. This is the God that we have. And lastly, the last investment. If we're going to be making a difference, if we're going to change the world around us, listen to Jude, verse 22. And of some, have compassion. What's the last phrase? Making a difference. Making a difference. You know, we live in a world that is disconnected. I sat at the airport and watched, I'm assuming husbands and wives or boyfriends and girlfriends, sitting next to one another, laptops, iPads. I'm just telling you, honestly, in the airport, I don't think I saw one person without some kind of electronic device at some point or another, out on their lap, including your pastor, by the way. I've got a cell phone. I'm not against them, all right? Don't misunderstand. But it's created a disconnected society. That our idea of having connection is smiley face, poke. That's our idea of making a connection to people. And it's, you know how long that connection is going to last? It won't last nearly as long as your Twitter account. And that's not going to last for very long. Because Twitter will not last forever. There's going to be something else coming along. And I promise you, in 3 years, no one will have ever heard of Twitter. Or else all the old people will finally have embraced Twitter, and all the young people will long since be using something different. Snapchat, and then something different, and then something different, and then something different. It just keeps going, right? Now, right now, the biggest group using Facebook is my age group and up. That's true. It's the biggest group of people using Facebook. Teenagers, you say, oh, I've got Facebook to keep track of teenagers. Well, good luck. They're not using it. They're not. The only thing you see about teenagers on there is what their grandparents posted. You know, follow it. Think about it. Those teenagers aren't using Facebook, except for the 13-year-old whose parents have finally given in to let him get a Facebook. That's their first account. But I'm just telling you, it's not where we are. And we're becoming a disconnected society. We do not know how to make a connection. We're missing it. My mom and dad went to a one-room school. One-room school. All right? This is homeschool on steroids. Because one-room school, they didn't have kindergarten. First grade, all the way through 12th grade, all in one room, and there are about 27 students, all right? That teacher, one room, taught them all. By the way, they probably got a better education. No offense to the teacher sitting at her, but they probably got a better education. I'm one of those teachers, so okay, I count myself in there. They probably got a better education, but here was the amazing thing. My dad died, 3 years ago? My dad was 88. One of his second grade schoolmates died, and we had to drive my dad to Terre Haute so he'd go to the funeral. Wow. You probably can't name three kids in your second grade. My dad was keeping track of them. There's a disconnect in our society. And folks, if we're going to make an impact, we've got to get, and of some, having compassion, making a difference. You want to know how to make a difference in somebody's life? Invest, because you love them, time and talent and treasure. And all of a sudden, you're changing the world that God has placed you in. That's what we're asking Southeast Baptist to begin to embrace. We're going to go through IMPACT. And when we're done, I'm looking for COMMITMENT. I'm not going to preach that, all right? I'm looking for commitment that we would together say, you know what? Time is short and life is too precious for us not to make a difference in the world God has placed us in.